Federal contracting might be lucrative, but not everyone has equal success. Each year, Grant Thornton surveys the health of federal contractors and checks in on the relationship they have with government. Joining us with the results of the latest edition is retired Vice Admiral Lou Crenshaw. He's the National Aerospace and Defense Practice Leader at Grant Thornton. Admiral Crenshaw, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Tom.
All right, so let's start at the very top. What is this year's most important finding in the survey?
Well, I think probably one of the most significant things that I found was that the relationships with our contracting officers and in specifically Defense Contract Audit Agency seem to be getting a little worse than they were last year and continuing with a trend for downward relationships there.
So a downward relationship with the Defense Contract Audit Agency, why is that, do you suppose?
Well, I think there are a couple of reasons. Number one, I think that increased oversight by DCAA, hiring many more auditors, an increased presence is one factor. And I think, you know, nobody really ever likes to have their books opened up, so there's a natural tension there. But I think this year, you know, the trend seems to be in a downward relationship. But more importantly, this year, we were surprised to find out that relationships with the contracting officers seem to be deteriorating.
Okay, so there's a lot of reasons, as you say, more oversight, and there's a lot of contracting law change. What effect could all this have on contracting if it's less pleasant than it was the year earlier?
Well, I think, first of all, we don't need to worry about driving contractors out of the defense business. That they'll always be there. But I think what this points to is less communication between the vendors and the government customers. And when that happens, you always have problems with the RFPs are not as clear as you'd like for them to be, and therefore the responses that you get from those in the proposals don't always come through loud and clear and satisfy the specific needs. So one of the things I think is really important is that this line of communication between the contracting officers and their vendor community remains strong and open. So this is a big concern of mine.
So the relationship between contracting officers and with DCA is on a downward trend. But what's interesting is profits are on the upward trend, or at least are holding steady. What did the survey find? What the respondents said about their both their profits and their numbers of and the revenue from government-wide contracts.
Well, you know, I think there's good news, bad news here. In fact, our survey did show that 50% of our companies have seen increased revenue from the previous year, and a full 37% of those companies are reporting profits in the 6-10% area. But two things about that. Number one is these are profits before taxes and interest, and typically when you throw that in, there's about a 35% swipe there. So the profits that show up in this survey are not necessarily as healthy as you might think they might be. And even more disturbing is the fact that more companies are beginning to report profits of 5% or less.
And tell me, why is the profit margin being so small a problem? Because some people would say, well, maybe the 5% profit margin is not so bad.
Well, it's probably not bad, but like, for instance, in this survey, the 5% profit margin is probably more like 2% once or 3% once you put taxes in. But I think, you know, this is a business, and businesses are in the business to make profits and satisfy their investors. And so it's always an issue when you take a look at what those numbers are. I think this year, by the way, what we've seen is companies have been doing a lot of things to maintain their profits while their costs have been rising. And it's sort of like an airplane. I used to fly airplanes. As you slow down, you can pull back on the stick and maintain your altitude, but you reach some point where you stall. And I think we're seeing contractors had prepared last year for very lean years by leaning out their operations, getting rid of their large benches, cutting their overhead costs, which is what the government wanted to do, but that leaves them in a position to be less prepared to respond as the need arises. So I think this bears a very close eye, because I think these companies are leaning out their operations and are beginning to approach a stall point, and we could see a fairly drastic drop-off in profits next year.
That's right, and the only way out of a stall is a dive. We're speaking with retired Vice Admiral Lou Crenshaw, the Grant Thornton's National Aerospace and Defense Practice Leader. Why are profits down? Could it be because of the increased emphasis on fixed-price contracts?
Well, actually, you know, you'd think that there was an increased emphasis on fixed-price contracts, but what we found in the survey is that there's been no change in the number of fixed-price contracts that our companies reported that they have awarded over the last several years. This year, they said about 45% of their contracts are fixed-price, and that's exactly what it was the prior year. So although the rhetoric is that we want to do more firm fixed-price contracts, what we're seeing is that's not necessarily the case.
No, but at the same time, are you seeing less cost reimbursement type contracts? Because that was like time and materials and labor hours. That was a big push by the administration to reduce those types of contracts.
Oddly enough, no. Now, remember that this is a survey of looking just a little bit past into 2011. So we'll watch that carefully in 2012 and see what's going on. But this has been the types of contracts that are being awarded have been fairly steady over the last several years. We've really seen no effect, no change there.
Now, another administration push is to reduce management support services type contracts. And then also, I guess, a part of that is the idea of bringing some jobs back in government that were considered inherently governmental. Did your survey address either of those areas? I know that gets into the weeds a little bit, but it's a big issue, I think, for a lot of contractors.
Well, we really didn't get too much information. A little bit of anecdotal stuff about the fact that they really haven't seen much of a change yet. And once again, I think this might be because we're lagging just a little bit. We're looking a little bit in the past. So this is something next year that we'll be watching very closely.
Well, we've seen dozens of little changes and some big changes in the procurement scene over the last 3 years. What's your advice to contractors, and especially defense contractors, to navigate the next couple of fiscal years?
Well, number one, there's no doubt that this year will be a special year in that certainly in the defense world, you have an appropriations bill, and therefore the government is spending money. And so to the extent that you can get things on contract this year, I would do it, because next year seems to be a very uncertain year, and most of the pundits around say that there's no chance that we would have any sort of spending bills next year. So number one, I would get as much on contract as you can. Number two is I would pay very close attention to my internal controls, my earned value management system compliance, and making sure in my cost accounting system that all the T's are crossed and all the I's are dotted, because there's no doubt that with hiring an extra 1,700 auditors, the Defense Contract Audit Agency is going to be putting even more scrutiny on all of our contractors. And, you know, relations are likely to deteriorate even more when that happens.
And what about the Mythbusters campaign, which tried to encourage pre-solicitation or even during bid process, where you can, communication between vendors and the government? Are you advising people to try to take part in that if they can avoid the organizational conflicts of interest?
Oh, it's always a good idea to open up a dialogue with your customer as early as possible. But, you know, this is an interesting phenomenon. I'm glad you mentioned it. I don't know how much time we have left. But one of the things that we hear from the top is Mythbusters. We want you to communicate with your vendors. But what we see in the field and at the action officer level, if you will, is that there seems to be a tendency to clam up even more now. We have a lot of difficulty in communicating with our vendors these days before solicitation and after. Even the debrief process, for those of us who unfortunately don't win, find that we're not getting nearly the quality of debriefs that we used to get.
One of the areas that a lot of vendors are looking at to grow is around mergers and acquisitions. Did the survey talk a little bit about if certain companies are looking to grow or to acquire other companies as a way to increase revenue, increase profits?
Oh, we certainly did. And as no surprise there, that's probably one of the principal ways that a company can grow and get new business is with the smart type of acquisition. But we also asked companies, if you were going to look to the future, what's the best way that you think that you see to sort of gracefully get out of the business? And that was, of course, looking towards mergers and acquisitions. So a lot of interest from both sides, both from the buyers and the sellers, for mergers and acquisitions. And I think this is going to be a banner year for that sort of activity.